com.
San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money, Not Theirs. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future. Now, It's Your Money, Not Theirs on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, good evening. Welcome to hour number two of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. I'm Joe Vecchio, your co-host and announcer with a special two-hour edition of our program this evening. And we're broadcasting at 50,000 watts of power, being heard up and down the West Coast, Riverside County, out to the desert, up to Seattle on a good night. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour, CPA extraordinaire, long-distance marathon runner, one of the key people at Star San Diego, Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable, family office advisor to several high net worth families and businesses. And with that, let me introduce the main man of the hour, Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you?
Hey, Joe, we're working overtime. Are we getting paid extra for this?
I would hope so.
Probably not. It's like Mary Alice Hill. No, you don't get paid any extra for that. You just get to do twice the work.
Yeah, that was a great show. And before we get in tonight, we've got another great show in the next 2 weeks. July 1 is...
Thomas McLaughlin from UBS.
UBS.
And everything you ever wanted to know about municipal bonds.
Yeah, he's a brilliant analyst. And... the following week is our live remote broadcast from the La Valencia Hotel, and our guest will be the irrepressible sportscasting legend, Dick Enberg, and I'm looking forward to that. He'll have plenty to say about Padres, sports, life, and things in general. But
is there plenty to say about the Padres? I wasn't aware of that.
Well, yeah. Yes, they'll be playing. And then
I can say that because they're not on this channel.
Yeah.
And I'm a season ticket holder, and I'm not real happy. Okay. So.
And, of course, there'll be an unveiling of a plaque for, we may as well just come out and say it's Dr. Seuss. There'll be an unveiling of a plaque. We'll have more details on that. But, anyway, he lived in La Jolla. A lot of people don't know this. He wrote all those books in La Jolla from 1946 or 48 until his passing in 91. And so he's one of the bigger persons ever to live and work in San Diego, wouldn't you say, Richard?
You know, I would agree, and you're right. A lot of people don't know. And so we have an event to unveil the plaque before the show, a little reception before the show, and then people could hang around and actually watch us do radio. What an interesting concept, watch people do radio.
Let's try to get speakers the next time so some people can listen as well.
Yeah, and we've got one of our sponsors on tonight, Regions Bank. I just sent you guys an email over the weekend. I think you guys are allocated 6 seats for that event. So you won in the spinoff, because most people only get 4, but somebody had to get 6 because of how the math works. So going to be right across the street from your office. But we have in the studio tonight 3 bankers, not just one, but 3. We have Sean Puckett from Regions Bank, one of the 21 most influential people under 40 in San Diego. Did I get that right, Sean?
Absolutely.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, 21 under 40. I remember when I was 40, and I felt young. When I turned 50, which was a couple years ago, somebody said, Richard, don't worry about that. That's like the new 30. And I said, well, why does it feel like the new 70? But anyway. And then we also have fairly recently named president of Regions Bank, Steve Sefton.
Good evening.
Thanks for coming out. And then we also have the president of the CEO of the holding company of the bank, Dan Yates.
Pleasure to be here.
So we are blessed with bankers.
Welcome.
So I want to start with the differentiation between a community bank and, well, bigger banks, and I want to do it in the context. If there's some really interesting news, we're going to talk about the industry first before we dial it down to what you guys are doing with your fine bank. Big headlines, I think it was Friday morning. This happened on Thursday in the Wall Street Journal. Ratings cut for giant banks. Moody's, which is a rating service. Moody's rates companies and their bonds and their debt issues. Moody's downgrades hit 5 of 6 largest U.S. banks. We name names here. That would be Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley. And Moody's, of course, downgraded. They also downgraded, I think, 10 large foreign banks. And I just want to ask the question, gentlemen. I mean, I know, of course, Regions Bank is what we call a community bank or a local bank, depending on what jargon you'd like to use. Tell us, what's the difference between you guys and Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley, besides the fact that you guys didn't get downgraded? I mean, what does a community bank do that differentiates them from these monolithic banks, as I like to call them?
I'll take that one. There was an article in Bloomberg just this last week, I believe, that one of the CEOs of one of the largest banks in the country was touting how they do old-fashioned banking. They take loans and deposits. And buried at the bottom of that article, it indicated that most of their earnings were driven from debit card services, credit card services, and investing, money management fees. That's not loans and deposits.
Mm-hmm. All I was going to say, what do those have to do with banking?
Not really a lot. All we do are take deposits from our local companies, local customers, and invest right back into local companies. Mm-hmm. We don't do credit default swaps. We don't have an office on Wall Street. We only work with local companies and local professionals.
You're not trading with other people's money, essentially, right?
Correct.
So interesting implications, though, coming out of the downgrade, not obviously for community banks or local banks, but downgrades, it's probably going to, these major banks that I mentioned, probably raise their company's borrowing cost, wouldn't you agree? It'll probably depress their trading revenue, which, you have to ask the question, why are banks trading? Downgrades also might affect how municipalities raise money to provide services and build schools. We'll hear more about that next week with Tom McLaughlin from UBS. And how money market funds invest cash from companies and savers, and how banks raise capital to support lending and trading. All of these things may be significantly affected with these large banks because of these downgrades. And it's going to be interesting to me, and I'm going to ask you guys to comment too, and then we'll switch from the national scope down to the more local scope. The Dodd-Frank regulations that are soon to be effective for banks may also cause, in my opinion, further downgrades for these very large banks, because I'm not sure that the rating services would be convinced that if any major banks have difficulties, that the government might be inclined to bail them out, like what happened a few years ago. What do you guys think about Dodd-Frank and the effect on further maybe rating decreases for these large banks?
Well, I think the one thing that you have to look at, this is Dan Yates, with the new regulations coming out of Dodd-Frank, a number of community banks are struggling to staff up to meet the new regulations. And with the new capital requirements coming out of Basel III, about a week and a half ago, they announced that community banks will not be exempted, as originally thought, from the new regulations. As a result, it's going to require more capital for even smaller community banks to continue to thrive. And that means going out to shareholders and requesting additional capital, or perhaps entering into a merger and acquisition. So I think you'll see more community banks possibly exit rather than build a route of raising more capital.
And this is Steve Sefton, which is exactly the opposite, I think, of what you want. I mean, the community banks came through this downturn and fared better, I think most experts would say, than the biggest banks in the world. And this bill is really impacting negatively the community banking world.
Yeah, I read that, and I thought that's really, really interesting in terms of how that might portend for the future. As you mentioned, it might cause a trend of community banks doing a merger or acquisition kind of approach, because certainly there's no economies of scale, obviously, for the larger community banks, right, given what Dodd-Frank is going to require?
Well, let's face it. There's a bit of an image crisis for banking today. When you talk about these downgrades, it reminds John Q. Public that the taxpayers bailed out the banks. Now, of course, what's not talked about is most of that money was repaid for a profit for the taxpayers.
Yeah, that was on page 20. The other news was on page 1.
It's usually buried.
You're right. The payback was on page 20, and the bad news was on page 1. But that's usually how it works.
Well, the good news for you, Richard, is now bankers are at the end of most of the jokes instead of attorneys.
Yeah, I know, exactly. but now your bank, your holding company is actually in acquisition mode, right? And it wasn't because of what came out of the Basel III or Dodd-Frank. It was just your business plan anyway, right?
Yeah, we've acquired 10 banks over the last 2 years. Most were very small community banks. Average size 150 to 250 million, and they were looking for an opportunity to exit. And the Dodd-Frank issues that you mentioned are a big part of why these community banks are seeking to find a way to partner up with larger banks. Even when we consolidate these banks, we're still at 2.5 billion, so it's a small bank in relative terms to a B of A and Wells Fargo, but compared to how most of these banks were operating over the last 10, 20 years, that's a good-sized institution.
And without being specific, I know the capital requirements you've mentioned are being changed in relative terms, not dollar amount terms, but with regard to a bank, say, of your size, what impact does Basel III have on capital? I mean, do you have to raise it 10%, 20%, 50%? I mean, just speaking generally, what are you looking at?
It depends on the composition of your balance sheet. So the risk-based assets, for example, if you're a community bank that happened to have a concentration of home mortgages, you're going to apply significantly more capital to carry those on your balance sheet than historically would have been the case. So it could be the difference of several millions of dollars on a bank that's $250 million, substantially more if you're a $500 million bank. Used to be that community banks were defined as a billion and less in assets. That definition has certainly changed over the years, because you'll find $10 billion community banks today.
Yeah, but I was sad to see that news as well, because I know there had been some reporting that maybe smaller community banks would be exempt. But I guess, it's just the way it goes, yeah. given over-regulation.
Hey, let's hold that thought, Richard. We have to take a little break right now. We'll be right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs after these short announcements.
Follow Sean Hannity tomorrow, noon to 3.
Just last week, the Department of Justice said that the Fast and Furious weapons have been found at over 170 crime scenes in Mexico. Now, for those that have been making Watergate analogies here, this, in my mind, is far worse than Watergate. Because in Watergate, you're talking about a bungled break-in. Here, we're talking about dead agents, which probably wouldn't have happened had our government not been selling weapons to known criminals.
Sean Hannity, tomorrow, noon to 3. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
The all-new BMW 328i has a 0-60 time of 5.9 seconds, faster than the Mercedes C250, Lexus IS250, and Audi A4. And that inspired Car and Driver to say,
clearly, the new 3 Series is the compact sports sedan for a changed world.
It also puts out 240 horsepower, making it more powerful than the Mercedes C250, Lexus IS250, and Audi A4, which move Motor Trend to say,
this is not just a win for the 328i, it's a massacre.
And it gets 33 highway miles per gallon, so it's more fuel efficient than the Mercedes C250, Lexus IS250, and Audi A4. So, after a recent test drive, the all-new BMW 3 Series inspired Gary from Chicago to say, we only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine. Speed and power claims based on specs from manufacturer sites, 2333 city highway miles per gallon, and comparisons based on EPA estimates.
Now through July 9th, lease the 2012 BMW 328i sedan for just $399 a month. Visit sdcountybmw.com/finance today for full details.
Hey, Steve.
Hello, Kenneth.
So you know how the boss is pressuring us to come up with some new ways to go green and save money?
Yeah, I got the memo.
I proposed dual pane windows.
Nice. Especially when I thought of it.
Low flow water fixtures.
Obvious, but good.
And motion activated light sensors. What do you got?
Solar water heating.
Solar water heating?
Well, Kenneth, it's a system that captures the warmth of the sun to help our regular water heater use less energy. And with all the hot water we use,
that could be huge.
I know, right? This could mean a door for my cube.
Stop it.
Hey, the new sustainability manager's gonna need an office.
Sustainability manager? Last time I checked, you were in charge of supplies.
It falls under the same umbrella, Kenneth.
Well played.
Make solar water heating the next step in your green routine and reduce your business energy bills and CO2 emissions. Rebates are available through the California Solar Initiative Thermal Program. Learn more at waterheatedbythesun.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-319-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
me.
Call 877-319-MYTV.
At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-319-MYTV. That's 877-319-MYTV.
Follow Mark Levin.
Tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now, it's your money, not theirs. On Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
All right, we're back with more of It's Your Money Not Theirs with our terrific guest, the CEO of Regions Bank, Dan Yates. And Steve,
actually, of the holding company.
Of the holding company. Steve Sefton, president, and vice president, Sean Puckett. So, and Richard Musio, of course. So welcome back, everybody.
Thanks, Joe. What was that song?
What was
that? Oh, Columbo theme. Okay, thanks. Yeah, I never liked Peter Falk. I'm sorry.
One more thing. Excuse me, ma'am.
Excuse me. Yeah. All right, so Regions Bank is a community bank. So you're working with small and medium-sized businesses and their owners, is that right?
That's right.
So businesses that have, give us some examples, not specific company names, but let's say the industries that you work in and the size of these businesses, say in terms of gross revenues and maybe numbers of employees that they employ.
And some success. You know, we always hear about, you know, the news is really...
No, I want to hear the good story.
Yeah, so anyway.
Sure, we work with companies on the low end, I would say $5 million in sales, up to, say, $7,500 million in sales. It's a big, broad bell curve, but the median-sized company would be, say, $15, $20, $25 million in sales. So, you know, and that pretty much maps the universe of companies that are domiciled here in the San Diego County area.
So most of these would have under 100 employees?
Most of them, yeah, sure.
Yeah, because that's what I see as a CPA, in that average range, you're probably under 100 employees, unless you're a personal service organization.
25 to 50 employees is a good number.
And
the bigger companies we work with may have more than that, but 25 to 50 employees is a good number.
And are you seeing your business clients break loose the purse strings? I mean, is there hiring going on, or have we hit the bottom? Are we coming back up? Are people looking at things a little bit more optimistically than, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Sean, why don't you jump in here?
I would say a lot of the companies that I'm banking are cautiously optimistic. They're starting to discuss strategic moves of expansion, but it's not a rapid pace. But it also kind of floats around by industry. You know, there's definitely some markets that are doing better than others, and I've got one company who's been adding, you know, doubling their employee size the last 2 years, and you know, they just bought their own building, and we were able to have the agility to get them into a commercial building on a really short notice.
Are you able to divulge what sector they're in or what kind of business? Or
yeah, they're in a specialty tour business. Okay. So they do real high level planned tours and sporting event tickets on an international scale.
Huh.
And so I guess folks are traveling. That's the good news, right?
Yeah. You know, there's some industries you can watch as a leading indicator, one of which is architects. We're starting to see some architects getting busy, which then leads to the trades and actual building, and so that's encouraging that they're picking up.
Trucking is another leading edge industry, and I think we're seeing trucking pick up. I feel like that companies were heading straight to the ground like a plane going down with sales screaming down during this recession, but I feel like they've pulled that rudder up and they flattened out and maybe even are starting to get a little bit of altitude. It'll be slow, it'll be a long, hard slog, but I think companies in general have learned to live in this new environment or getting more getting profitable or turning things around, starting to grow a little bit.
But going back 4 years in time to 2008, I know I, as a CPA, had never seen anything like this. Had you ever seen anything move in a downtrend so fast?
Not at all. Not at all. You really saw it in the contractors, too. We're so real estate dependent. Boy, the contractors really took a hit. And that industry is still, there's some that have figured out how to make money and do well, but there are some that are still having a hard time.
Well, what happens is they delay cutting staff, and so many of them took the ship down. They were expecting it to turn around quicker than it did. They carried overheads, employees for much longer, particularly if you have a key employee that's been with you for 10, 20 years and it's a hard skill set to replace. We saw a number of business owners just delaying the inevitable. And once they made the cuts, they got back into the black. But some didn't pull up in time.
Yeah, I think one reason why the turnaround's been so much slow is a lot of people took too much time to make the moves to adjust to the downturn.
Right.
And so, therefore, they were late getting started, for lack of a better way of describing that. And, of course, that caused some of them to fail because they moved too late.
Well, think about how many companies had never really seen this kind of recession. I mean, we had a little bit of a recession in the early 2000s, but you had to go back to the early 90s to really find a recession that, you know, it didn't come as close as this one, but even the business owners didn't have that experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was around in the early 90s, and that was fairly tough times, but it didn't move that fast as this one did.
No,
I saw companies go out of business in 3 months.
Well, there were a ton of cranes downtown. You'd look around, you'd see maybe a dozen cranes all over the place, and I don't think they're not there now.
Well, you are seeing construction activity. I mean, I got a flat tire 2 weeks ago, and that's always because I pick up a construction nail, and I hadn't had a flat tire in about 4 years.
Oh,
the construction guys are back. I'm getting flat tires again.
That's an indicator.
Flat tires are an indicator, Joe, that the economy's turning around, at least when it comes to me.
That's true. I had 5 flat tires in a period of about a year and a half during the last upturn. But okay. I am seeing building out in some areas of San Diego. Their single-family home building is coming back in.
East Village is building, too. There's Canadian company building. I think it's a 45-story, 2 towers down there. It's going to be the tallest building in San Diego.
Yeah, you're seeing stuff up in North County, Del Sur, up by my daughter's high school. Carmel Valley.
Carmel Valley.
Yeah.
Party Homes
has another development going on. I guess it's third or fourth of a series out there off of the old Carmel Valley Road. But yeah, you know, I have clients who do the same thing when construction. I mean, this is no joke. I used to get a flat tire every quarter because I'd pick up some big screw or nail in my tire, and then for 3 or 4 years I literally did not have a flat tire. And I thought, wow, construction's coming back because I got a flat. That's good. I wasn't complaining.
but are we out of the? Are these derivatives still a factor? How, you know, debt? I mean, we see Europe obviously. It's going to impact us in some capacity. What do you gentlemen think about
I think what you're going to find is a long period of low interest rates. That's the outcome of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Japan now for several years and record low interest rates. We thought they would turn around, but it's the new normal. Long-term interest rates just seem to keep dipping down, and I don't see them coming back anytime soon.
I guess that's good if you're a borrower, but if you're an investor, I mean, because that impacts on the investment side too, correct?
Well, and it's a sign of how strong the economy is, or in this case, is not.
Yeah.
No. Well, yeah, I don't see how there's a choice with regard to keeping interest rates low. You know, I've heard people say it may even go through 2015, 2016, which to me are midterm rates staying low. Right. I don't know what your thoughts about the timing are. I know it's impossible to predict, but a couple of years ago it was, you know, maybe 2013 or through the election.
Well, Federal Reserve had an even split between the Board of Governors 2013, 2014. I was listening to an economist that I really respect here recently, and he was telling me expected even longer. So,
wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Do you think the Volcker Rule will help? I think we talked about Glass-Steagall last time, and I guess there was a mixed opinion on that. But, you know, as far as these big banks, I mean, we were talking about it at the break. Jamie Dimon's bank, 250,000 employees. How can he be responsible for everything going on in that company? You get a couple of rogue people in there, and they could really damage you, right? I mean,
well, he testified to Congress, and basically the issue was that the Volcker Rule would not have helped identify mm-hmm. this issue, the trading issue that cost them $2 billion plus. That's difficult. When you're doing trades of that size, your position is so large that the counterpart on the other side really can't adjust quickly enough. So where do you dump these bonds and these derivatives?
I don't know. And of course, you talk to people and they don't really know how much is out there, and trillions of dollars they're talking. But anyway, maybe we'll get some specifics,
Joe.
That's right. After the break, we'll come right back with more of It's Your Money, Not Theirs. Stay tuned.
Follow 760 in 2012. Mike Slater mornings, Roger Hedgecock afternoons. We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760, KFMB.
Are you tired of fluctuating gas prices and undecided what to do when you're deciding your next vehicle? We get the question every day. Hi, I'm Dave Grunstrom, CEO of Marvin K. Brown Auto Center. One of the things that separates our dealership from others is we have more choices. We have 6 franchises, and they all have either plug-in electric or hybrid capabilities.
I'm Jennifer Brown, president of MKB. We have all new plug-in EVs from Fisker, Kota, and Mitsubishi in stock and ready for delivery. We also have Cadillac Escalade hybrids and GMC Yukons available with hybrid options. The new Buick LaCrosse with eAssist is now in stock as well.
So if it's choice and selection of a variety of vehicles to have in one location and from a dealership that's a San Diego tradition, come in and check us out.
If gas prices are frustrating you, Marvin K. Brown has plug-in and hybrid options for you. Call MKB today at 800-640-0204. That's 800-640-0204 or online at mkb.com. MKB and the heart of Mission Valley.
Summer is almost here. Are you ready to turn on the AC and get your first big summer electric bill? Get solar now and avoid some of the highest electric bills of the year. With a Baker Electric solar installation and the new SunPower lease, you can go solar. No money down, no investment, just pure savings. Get rid of your expensive electric bills and pay way less for solar each month. The best part? Your low monthly solar payment will never go up. Go solar by June 30th with Baker Electric Solar and you'll get a $1,000 Visa gift card with your solar installation. Great for some extra spending on that summer vacation. Baker Electric Solar is an award-winning company. They're local and family-owned with a 74-year history. And they are the SunPower Dealer of the Year. Call Baker today to get started. You can get the planet's most powerful solar that'll save you money every month. Plus a $1,000 Visa gift card. 1-877-5-GET-SOLAR. Or click BakerElectricSolar.com. Yeah. Whoa.
Crazy about cash? Time to go bonkers with Casino Palma's Cuckoo for Cash giveaway. You could get clocked with your share of over $170,000. Sundays, June 3rd and 24th, and Wednesdays, June 13th and 20th. 12 cash-crazed winners each night get up to $10,000 cash. Those same days, there's more wacky winning when you go cuckoo for hot seats. 20 winners each day get $500 in Palma Play and extra entries into the Cuckoo for Cash drawings. Want more ring in your chimes? Join the club that pays to play. New Palm Club members get $20 in Palma Play. Only at Casino Palma, your casino. Highway 76, just 12 miles east of I-15. Must be 18 years or older. Visit CasinoPalma.com for more information.
No two pre-owned Mercedes-Benz are alike. Hello, Southern California. I'm Fletcher Jones, Jr. If you think a Mercedes-Benz is out of your reach, consider a platinum-certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz from Fletcher Jones Motor Cars. Most are pristine, low-mileage, one-owner vehicles refreshed to the highest factory standards. A well-maintained Mercedes-Benz can last forever, but you've got to start with the right vehicle in the first place. Fletcher Jones selects only one out of every three to go through our rigorous platinum certification process. In fact, some of our clients think they're better than new because we add an additional year up to 100,000 miles to the manufacturer's original warranty. We know you can buy a used Mercedes anywhere, but Fletcher Jones provides the highest standard certified pre-owned vehicles available, and you still get all the complimentary amenities afforded new car buyers, including free airport shuttle, car washes, and loaner cars. There's only two of us that will know you're not driving a brand new Mercedes-Benz, and we're not talking. Call us at 949-718-3000. Visit us at fjmercedes.com, or better yet, drive over today to Jamboree at the 73.
Fletcher Jones Motor Cars. Mercedes-Benz. Newport Beach.
Roger Hedgecock.
Follow me every afternoon, 3 to 6 on 760 KFMB.
Local pensions are now a state issue. I'm 760's Rick Williams. Here are the stories we're following. Well, lawyers for the State Public Employment Relations Board say they will ask a judge to block implementation of Proposition B. That's the voter-approved measure that slashes pension benefits for San Diego City workers. And the founder of San Diego's consumer protection group, the Utility Consumers Action Network, is no longer with them. UT San Diego quotes UCAN officials saying only that Michael Shames isn't on the payroll anymore. And a 22-year-old woman trapped in a submerged car in a swimming pool in Escondido last Monday was taken off of a life support yesterday. Ashley Garcia never regained consciousness and was declared brain dead. We're brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. No microwaves, no freezers, because fresh never gets old. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger's all about. In weather, mostly sunny and 69 at Lindbergh Field. And in sports, Padres beat the Mariners today 2-0, but they did lose the first two games of this set. They head to Houston Monday for four games with the Astros. Follow San Diego's talk leader at 760KFMB.com.
They've seen a number of tornadoes in Florida. The effects of Tropical Storm Debbie, which is moving very slowly toward the Florida Panhandle. Landfall expected Wednesday, but Debbie is not likely to become a hurricane. While President Obama has congratulated Egypt's president-elect, the relationship going forward is not guaranteed. Mohamed Morsi, who went to college in the U.S., is an Islamist and could present problems with one of our big allies. Lawrence Korb with the Center for American Progress.
What we need to be concerned about is whether, in fact, it will revert to, you know, Pakistan and become so unstable it will cause problems for the region. It'll cause problems in our relations with Israel. It could cause problems for, you know, what happens in our relations with Saudi Arabia.
At least one conductor escaped injury when two freight trains collided in Oklahoma. A search continues for others still missing, a malfunctioning switcher being blamed. Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
Follow Glenn Beck tomorrow, 9 to noon.
I don't think my government represents me. I'm not proud of what my government is.
We lead the conversation. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now, it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back with more of Mr. Money Not Theirs with the senior officers of Regents Bank and my co-host Richard Musio. Welcome back, Richard.
Thanks. We're gonna thank our sponsors first. Why not, huh? Well, we know about Regents Bank. They're on the show. But we also want to thank UBS again next Sunday, July 1. Tom McLaughlin going to tell us everything we need to know about the municipal bond market. Polito Epic, CPAs, Don Epic, Paul Polito. I think Don Epic is in Europe right now. So good for you, Don. 25th wedding anniversary. Congratulations. Or the joke is if you're an accountant, that's 50 years because, you know, 25 plus 25. Rich Gaines and Family Legacy Legal. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited. And, of course, we have two new sponsors, La Valencia. We're going to be doing an event at the hotel on July 8th, as we mentioned. And Signature Analytics, Mr. Jason Kruger. So, gentlemen, I'm going to go around the table. And I want all three of you to talk briefly about yourself, but also give us an example of what it means to be a community banker. So we're going to go with the most famous person here first, Sean Puckett, because, again, he is one of the 21 most influential young people in San Diego. And I'm never going to let you live that down, buddy. Tell us about yourself and give us a community banker story.
Okay.
Influential.
Well, I had an interesting way to come to San Diego. I came here with the military. My dad was a Marine officer and attorney, and I moved here when I was 10. And I left and went to high school in Japan, and I came back here to go to USD.
Yes, and, go Toreros.
Yeah, that's right. And found my way into banking, and now I'm a community banker. And, you know, my banking story goes through a couple of different banks, and I've found a home here at a bank that does the right things for the right reasons for the right companies, and you know, that's been a blessing. But I don't know, what else do you want to know, Richard?
I guess that's it. Now we're doing something interesting. We're going to talk about collaboration a little bit, but we're hosting a very interesting event Wednesday morning with some bankers and some CPAs at University Club. It's going to be fun. And we're going to be giving away some trade secrets. So we're looking forward to that, right, Sean?
Are we going to give them away right now?
No, we're not going to give away. We're going to, people.
Yeah, and I guess I
people
should.
People have to be there.
I guess I should share on the radio here that I'm a first vice president downtown with the downtown Regents Bank office and a commercial lender and relationship manager.
And you are also one of the movers and shakers of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable Star San Diego. We very much appreciate your commitment to that cause.
Yeah, and I appreciate yours, too. It's been fun collaborating with you on that, Richard, and I think we're both passionate about making sure that the businesses in San Diego have a team of trusted advisors instead of segregated trusted advisors.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that during the show. Yeah. Moving on to Steve Sefton from the other Sefton family.
There you go.
There's some famous Seftons in San Diego, but Steve's not one of them.
Unfortunately, my wife saw my name written on half the buildings around and was wondering if I owned them and was doing something moonlighting, but I explained it.
So you just moved down here from Orange County recently?
L.A. County, yeah.
L.A. County, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in Texas, went to the University of Texas. Met my wife, my future wife, on vacation and moved out here to get married and began my banking career in downtown Los Angeles. Actually, Beverly Hills, later in downtown Los Angeles. And that's where Dan and I hooked up at one of the great legacy community banks in Southern California, First Business Bank.
Sure.
And that's how I came to this trajectory out here to San Diego.
Is the business community different down here than it is up in Los Angeles?
Just more companies. It's a larger area, larger region. I spent quite a bit of time in the downtown central area, but also went out to the Inland Empire to open up an office de novo.
Okay.
And the Inland Empire is where a lot of the coastal businesses would move to open up a plant, buy a bigger building, and it's pretty simple. The employee base was cheaper out there, and so was the dirt to build a building. Mm-hmm. So just same type, different, little bit different mix of industries, but the same profile. As a small businessman, owner-managed company has a lot of similarities in how they're managed and how they're run, and that's really what we focus on.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, you were telling us during a break a story about your loan committee. This is community banking. Tell us the story.
Our loan committee. Ben in our downtown office brought us into a really nice prospect who up in North County has a property management company managing vacation properties. And this company is slick. He does a great job. Has won some national awards. He's developed some software. Like a lot of owner entrepreneurs, they really drive the business nationally, and he's a member of national organizations that runs a great business, very profitable. And Dan and I were out there just Friday, a couple days ago, and we're kicking the tires, and we had an idea of the numbers. He showed us his performance. We know what the loan request is for. We know what the use is for. Dan looked at me and said, loan committee is hereby in session, and I vote yes.
That's good.
And I said, I think I vote yes, too. And I looked across at him, and we reached out our hands and shook his hand, and he had this befuddled look on his face. And we said, we'll get back to you with the details. The deal is done.
Wow. So he didn't have to call a toll-free number. He didn't have to talk to somebody in San Francisco or Los Angeles.
And they make house calls.
And,
you know, that's a good point, making house calls. And, you know, Sean can tell you, too, out there visiting the companies, that is everything. I mean, it's not looking at a spreadsheet, and that's how the bigger the bank gets, the credit decision moves away from the house call, and it's just looking at paper, and you just can't really know a business without visiting the business, and that's one of the biggest differences in a big bank and a community bank.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And now, Dan Yates, I'm going to get this right. Dan is the CEO of the bank and the president of Grand Point Capital, which is the holding company. But one thing I think is really interesting about Dan, he's on the board of a company called NTS, which is a world-leading provider of integrated engineering solutions. And so that means you actually also work in the business world besides being a banker.
I do indeed. Well, I think I'm a rare breed in San Diego. I'm actually a third-generation San Diegan, which is rare these days. I grew up here and went to Morse High School and San Diego State. And when I left to start my business career after college, I spent 17 years in Los Angeles, and I always had a dream to come back home and start a bank. So I accomplished that in 2001 when we launched Regents with a group of other investors and like-minded individuals. And, you know, the philosophy was to try and create a bank that was less about products and services and more about consulting and helping clients increase revenues and solve their business issues. And we've accomplished that over the last 10 years. And you mentioned the public company experience. That's been invaluable in that regard. Had a chance 8 years ago to become a director of a public company. And we work internationally on the defense industry and aerospace, automotive. And it gives me an insight into strategic planning and all sorts of issues that our smaller business clients need help with. So I'm able to transfer that public company experience to the smaller entrepreneurs and help them leverage my experience to help their businesses grow.
And are you heavily involved in the acquisition pattern that your bank is in, or is that a different department than you? I'm just curious.
I am dead center, and I'll tell you, the biggest challenge you have with acquisitions is not putting the deal together, it's merging cultures. And even among community banks, there are different ways of doing business. This might not be too surprising if you think about how businesses try to carve out a niche. So my primary responsibility when we buy a bank is to take the time to understand the business, what made them successful, what made them attractive to us as a candidate to acquire, and then try to take the best practices of each bank that we acquire and merge them seamlessly into the organization so that we have a great experience for clients regardless of which office they deal with. And hopefully over time we'll show that's a very effective strategy to build a bank in this environment.
And do you think you'll be busy on the acquisition side? I know you can't predict the future, but and also given Dodd-Frank's effect on small banks, do you think that's still going to be an opportunity for the next 2, 3, 4 years?
You know, we're at a stage now after 10 acquisitions in 2 years. I think we will settle in and grow organically. I won't turn away opportunities, but that's a lot to digest in a short period of time. And I think our primary focus right now is just to grow the bank.
And with those acquisitions, what geographic region do you now cover?
We go as far north as Northwest Washington, outside of Portland, Oregon. Most of our branches are in San Diego, Orange County, L.A., and Arizona.
Okay, so basically West Coast based.
Right.
Interesting. So, Sean, I want to ask you a question.
Make it an easy one.
We talk a lot about collaboration. How do banks, and how can a community banker sort of be the catalyst for collaboration among other, and when I talk about collaboration among professional service advisors, I'm talking about CPAs, attorneys, trustees, wealth advisors, life insurance specialists. Can you tell us how a banker can sort of be that center person or that quarterback of that whole thing?
Yeah, I can. And thanks, Richard. It starts with what a banker really does. And a banker digs in as deep as they can into that business to understand it. And many times in a community bank, that banker underwrites the loan, is the architect for the cash management, and they really need to understand the in and out of that business. So by the time they get to that point, hopefully a lot of trust has been built, and they're in the perfect position to be the quarterback for all the other trusted advisors. And so to the extent that that banker is well-networked with CPAs, attorneys, and all the things that are important as you're growing your business, the banker can be the quarterback and collaborate with those other advisors for the benefit of the company, making sure that everybody's on the same page. Instead of having six meetings with six advisors, if the advisors all know each other, isn't there some synergy there?
And can a banker also help a business owner? I mean, people usually think about bankers just lending money and that's it. But, I mean, tell us how a banker can actually help a business owner.
Well, bankers are interesting in that they have a huge data set of having looked at so many balance sheets and so many P&Ls and so many different industries. And the challenges that they've seen other companies overcome surface in the other companies that they service. And so, you know, it's just about sharing stories and experience and not being afraid to be an advisor. You know, you don't want to sit behind your desk and just let the business owner work it out themselves. You want to get involved. You know, you want to share resources. You want to bring new ideas. And that's what it's all about.
And I think that's really what collaboration means. It means not only being a centerpiece for other advisors, but it means actually being proactive.
Yeah. Let's hold that thought.
And I hear music, so we're going to hold that thought, Joe.
Yeah, we're going to come right back with more Richer Money Not Theirs right after this short break.
Mark Levin,
tomorrow night, 6 to 9.
Revolutions don't just happen, so we need people in place, in positions of power, to carry out the liberty agenda, to reestablish constitutionalism, whether at the state level or the federal level. This is an enormous opportunity for huge victories across the country, so we can begin the 80 to 100-year process of unraveling the Leviathan and reestablishing constitutional government. The Republic, now is our chance. Now is our opportunity.
Mark Levin, tomorrow night, 6 to 9, on 760 KFM.
Since 1954, Business Valuations Limited has served the affluent and private businesses by measuring, creating, and defending equity values. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations Limited serve thousands of trusted advisors and their clients in tax, transfer, and transaction matters, as well as IRS discounting and shareholder disputes. Business Valuations Limited is a veteran-owned firm offering a global footprint with local insights. Call 1-800-286-6635 for a free consultation. That's 1-800-286-6635.
By the time your carpet looks dirty, it's filthy. I'm Mike Slater, and I want to tell you about Zero Res Carpet Care. You know, the average home takes in over 40 pounds of dirt a year. That's a lot of dust, and it ends up settling in your carpet. You know, that dirt and dust, it's there all the time, and vacuuming picks some of it up, but not enough. And it just keeps building up and up and up. And if you can see that your carpet is dirty, gosh, just think about what is actually building up in there. But don't worry, because Zero Res can help. Zero Res is the only carpet cleaning company that cleans your carpet with patented empowered water, so you get a healthy, clean carpet without that sticky, soapy, crunchy residue. No one does it like Zero Res. Expect the best. And if you call Zero Res today, ask them about the 4th of July special. You get an additional $10 off their already reduced price if you listen to the Mike Slater Show. Call 858-486-4100 for details. 858-486-4100 for the 760 KFMB special. Zero Res, spelled forward or backwards, it spells the same. Zero Res.
When it's time to get your new GMC, come get a great deal. Come to a family dealership. Welcome to North County GMC.
We have San Diego's largest selection now with acres of inventory.
Come see San Diego's first GMC image store, just completed for your comfort and convenience. They have an expert staff who want to give you the perfect experience from sales to service or just to visit. Now's the best time in years to lease a new GMC with efficient new models and low lease specials just for California residents, like the compact crossover, the GMC Terrain, or the new 2012 GMC Acadia family crossover. North County GMC, freeway close in the Escondido Auto Park.
Come in
in as a customer and leave as family.
At North County GMC, you can lease a new 2012 GMC Terrain for 36 months at only $287 a month plus tax. There's $2,300 due at signing, but you can use the factory rebate of $1,300. Then it's only $1,000 out of pocket for a new GMC Terrain at only $287 a month plus tax on approved credit. You get 12,000 miles per year, then it's 25 cents per mile thereafter. Visit North County GMC, freeway close in the Escondido Auto Park.
Five at this payment. Expires 7/3/2012.
4th of July travel is just around the corner. So right now at Sears Auto Center, save $35 on our road trip ready package that includes an alignment, conventional oil change, tire rotation, and air filter. Also, buy three Bridgestone WeatherForce Plus tires and get one free. Stop by Sears Auto Center or visit SearsAuto.com for more offers and coupons. This is the way to roll into summer. This is Sears Auto Center. Most vehicles package regularly $137.97. Free tire of equal or lesser value, N628. Shop these and exclusions apply. See store for details.
Warning. Orthopedic surgeons are seeing an increase in overuse injuries when young athletes perform the same repetitive stressful motions over and over. Pitching, tennis, weight training, even long swimming workouts can cause overuse trauma that may require surgery. If your kids play and train hard, visit orthoinfo.org or stopsportsinjuries.org. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the American Orthopedic Society for Sports Medicine.
Follow Mike Slater tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
Now it's your money, not theirs, on Talk Radio 760 KFMB.
We're back with the last segment of It's Your Money, Not Theirs, with that great Hawaii 5-0 music. And on that note, the CEO of Regions Bank has a Hawaiian shirt on.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that. I've got a psychedelic 70s shirt on.
So we're back with Dan Yates, CEO, Steve Sefton, President, and First Vice President Sean Puckett from Regions Bank. Hey, you got to go on their website, regentsbank.com. A lot of great information and a lot of great testimonials, which are important. So anyway, but, over to you, Richard.
But before I ask you, or sort of throw a pet peeve at you, somebody tell us how we get a hold of you guys. Anybody, well, just jump right in.
Well, they can go on the website and they can...
Regentsbank.com, right?
Regentsbank.com, okay. Or give us a call. I think
they should just call me at 619-446-5580.
That's perfect. 619-446-5580.
What was that phone number again, Sean?
619-446-5580.
And maybe you can have some of Sean's considerable influence rub off on you. So look, I'm a CPA guy, so here's my pet peeve, and it's about other CPAs. It's actually not about bankers, it's about other CPAs. You guys get a lot of financial information. It's almost always backwards looking. That is to say, it's the interim financial statement as of March 31, 2012, or last year's financial statements or last year's tax return. Now, in the meltdown in 2008, companies went out of business really fast. Further, looking at last year's financial statements probably didn't do anybody much good in terms of predicting the future. Are you seeing CPAs prepare forward-looking financial statements and cash flow projections and the like, or is that simply not something that you guys see very much of?
I would say it's rarer than I would like it to be, particularly in the cash flow area, projections on cash flow.
And don't you agree it's critical to look at 3 months down the road, 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, what businesses might think their best case, average case, and worst case would look like?
Absolutely critical. And, you know, when companies come to us and we start working with them and they're in a high growth phase, it's really critical. And you can't just grow. You've got to have cash flow to grow and you've got to plan for it.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how many businesses that were rapidly growing that I've been in business now for 33 years. They say, wow, I mean, my sales are going up dramatically and business is great. And I've got no money. I've got no cash. I can't even make the payroll because, you know, sales are twice as big as last year and I have no cash. What happened? They don't even know what happened. And, you know, that's the carrying cost of inventory, it's receivable, you know, it's all kinds of things. And so, yeah, and I guess we'll talk about this on Wednesday. I really would love it if my profession, and I know my profession can't guarantee or attest to or audit forward-looking financial statements, but boy, can they really be useful, especially with rapidly growing companies. And in a second category, companies that are restructuring.
And it can be simple. Projections don't have to be very complicated, and sometimes because business is so dynamic, the more complicated it gets, the less useful it is.
Right, I agree. So, gentlemen, tell us what kind of attributes are you looking for in companies that would be businesses that would be borrowers or partners with you who are working with your bank?
Well, I think the first thing is profitability, a history of profitability. Especially coming out of this downturn, you might not see the steady sales growth that we always like to see. Maybe flat or it may be down, but how did they handle that as far as their managing expenses in that environment? Profitability, and that leads to cash flow. So I think cash flow and profitability are the two top things that come to my mind.
And do you see any new industries coming on board in San Diego? Do you think it's still going to be sort of construction-based, the biomed and so on up on the hill, and a healthy dose of tourism?
I think you see a lot of companies that are writing applications for the iPad, for technology. And so the technology sector in San Diego is doing fabulously well, especially for the smaller entrepreneurs. And many of these will emerge as larger companies in the future, but we have a hotbed of them all throughout San Diego.
And are those companies a little bit more difficult for you to understand or predict maybe their future results, given that they don't deal with old-fashioned things like inventory? Or is technology, well, so prevalent that's a fairly understandable industry?
Understanding them is not the issue. It's just if they're too young and embryonic, they're probably not bankable for the first couple of years. Usually it's family and friends providing the financing to get them started. But at some point, usually year three or four, they graduate into a thriving business, in which case we'd love to do business with those types of companies.
And Richard, that segues right into what you just asked a minute ago. What are we looking for in a company? Dan just gave you another characteristics, mm-hmm. 3 or 4 years of history at least,
right.
Profitability. Did they start the company with a high enough capital base? Are they over-levered? You want to see leverage and balance with capital. You want to see a history. You want to see profitability.
Do you look at how current they are with their financial statements and their internal operations? Because to me, companies that are way behind on financials, that's a red flag.
It's a big red flag for me. In fact, if they don't have current financial statements, then it's really hard to have a discussion because it's just a story at that point.
You may have all the positive things we just talked about into a prospective customer, but if they don't have a good control over their accounting, that by itself can keep you from moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it suggests there's other underlying issues that maybe aren't as easy to spot. And I know nobody likes paying us bean counters.
That's critical. A good CPA relationship is critical.
So what do you think of the future of community banking is in San Diego? You mentioned Dodd-Frank might cause further consolidation. Is that what you think is going to happen? Or if you had to predict what community banks look like 5 years from now, what would the vision be?
You know, there was a time when community banks were being formed on average 2 or 3 per year. For most of the years 2000 through 2007, I don't think we're going to see as many banks being born in the next decade as in the last two. I think you'll see a firming up in size, maybe some additional consolidation. And those of us who have survived the downturn, I think will continue to thrive in the next few years.
I think 94% of the banks in the country are what are known as local or community banks.
Right. That's right. So
get out and support your local, not only community right. bank, but your local businesses,
These
too.
Are the good guys, so don't pay attention to the 6%. Pay attention to 94%. Anyway, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Hey, we made history, Joe. It was our first ever two-hour show.
We certainly did. So, look at everybody. You have a great week. 2 weeks, we'll be live from the La Valencia. Come on down, meet these gentlemen, meet us, and we'll be glad to see you. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Justin Hart, our technical director. Thank you, Craig Blanke, our account executive, and our programming genius, Dave Sniff from KFMB. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
It only takes 6.2 seconds for the BMW 528i to go from 0 to 60. Coincidentally, that's about how long it takes to realize that the 528i is faster and more fuel efficient than the Mercedes-Benz E350 sedan, and that it's the only car among its top rivals that offers no-cost maintenance, and that the 2012 BMW 528i sedan is a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. 6.2 seconds. Not a lot of time. It takes longer to tie your shoes or open a stubborn jar of peanut butter, but it's more than enough time for you to realize that no other car is quite like the 528i. You only make one thing, the ultimate driving machine. Speed claims based on specs from manufacturer sites. Fuel comparisons based on EPA estimates. For ultimate service details, call 1-888-3114-BMW.
Now through July 9th, lease a 2012 BMW 528i sedan. $49 a month with a $1,500 option allowance available. Visit sdcountybmw.com/finance today for full details.
We follow the story.